you searching for happiness, this the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all wanna live, this the way to go. 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 This the way to go.
You are now listening to The Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go. Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.
Verse for the year at A Place of Refuge and the Refuge Connection of Churches. In 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, Paul asks, or he doesn't ask a question, but he says, we walk by faith and not by sight. It's very important, again, young people, that we understand Paul is not talking about everyone. The key word is a pronoun in the verse, we. We. We has to do with righteous people. Young men and young women that are Christian. You have repented of your sin, made Jesus Lord and Savior. That's what it means to be righteous. And now you're striving not to be like the world, but to live according to God's word. I better say that again. Now you're striving not to live like the world, but to live according to the word. And we know the word, young people, comes in two forms, the written word and the revealed word. And he says, look, that's what the righteous live by, faith, and not by, help me, sight. Faith, we need to understand and be on the same page, is when we think, talk, and behave according to God's word. That's what it means to live by faith. Of course, it means to trust God, but breaking it on down, I'm thinking, talking, and doing based upon God's word. And when I'm doing that, that says that I'm righteous, and I'm living by faith. Now, I'm not going to deal with it too much this morning, but I want to make sure we have an understanding what we should live by and what we should not live by. We should not live by the same verse, sight, right? Sight has to do with that which we sense, how we feel. Look at somebody and say, you got to get out your feelings. Yeah, senses are a good thing. We need our feelings. We need our senses. But not when it comes to living by faith. Okay? I have to put my feelings and my senses aside as a righteous person and think, talk, and do God's word. Are y'all still with me? Why, Pastor, don't I need to live by sight? Because sight or senses is not guaranteed. Senses and sight, they change. All right? They change. They're temporary, Paul says. Let's look at 2 Corinthians 4 and 18. Y'all go to 2 Corinthians 4 and 18 with me. And it reads, while we do not look at the things which are, help me, seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, God's word is eternal or unchanging. God's word is guaranteed. But what we see, what we sense, it can change. It's temporary, right? But again, this is the lifestyle of the righteous. Tell somebody, say, faith is the lifestyle of the righteous. All right, let's look at a few things, a few truths about the righteous. Okay, before I deal with chapter 13 and 5 of 2 Corinthians, let's get on the same page so we understand what it means to be righteous. Okay? Let's start, first of all, in Proverbs 20 and verse number 7. Y'all go to Proverbs 20 and verse number 7. So we understand how a person becomes righteous by repenting, right? And it, receiving Jesus as Lord and what? And Savior. Y'all got it? Okay. Now we need to look at some traits that you and I should have if we are righteous. Because it's not enough just to say I'm saved. No, we got to bear fruits of righteousness. Okay? Our lifestyle got to add up. So let's look at Proverbs 20 and 7. The righteous man or woman walks in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. This is what I want us to learn as it pertains to being righteous in this verse, young people. Righteous young folk have integrity. If Jesus is your God, he's your Lord, he's your Savior, as a righteous individual, we should have and live and walk in integrity. Integrity. Integrity has to do with ethical and godly standards of living. When I have integrity, I'm just going to strive to do the right thing. I have standards about myself. I just don't do any old thing. Why? I have integrity. I see you drop a 20. I can use that 20, but I saw you drop that 20. If I have integrity, I'm going to pick it up and give it back to you and not say, that's my blessing. Now, if a 20 just blowing in the wind, and I don't know where it came from, hey, thank you, Lord. But I have integrity when I do what's right or godly. Young people, we are living in a day and time where there is a moral decline. And many young people are not exemplifying integrity the way that they should. And you and I need to make sure that as righteous young men and you as a righteous young woman, we have integrity. Can I go a little bit further? Can I come in your house? Thank you for letting me in. Let's look at some examples of integrity. When you and I have integrity, our word is our bond. If you say you're going to do a thing, then you do it. Don't tell mama, don't tell daddy you're going to do something at the house and then you don't stand on your word. That's saying you lack integrity. If you tell them I'm going to do better in this area, but then a week, 2 weeks go by and you still doing the same thing, you lied and you lacking integrity. You have to remember, I'm righteous. My word is my bond. If I say I'm going to do something, I need to do it. That goes with your parents. That goes just in your character as an individual, you and I need to make sure that if we say we're going to do something, we are known for doing what we say. Because it's a lot of young folk and grown folk. They just talk big talk. Y'all know anybody like that? They always talking about what they going to do. And they always saying they going to do something, but they never put no action behind it. But when you have integrity, your word is your bond. Another example, you own your actions when you have integrity. You are accountable for your actions. If you do something wrong, you own it. Yeah, I messed up. I did that. You don't try to weasel your way out of it or try to say, no, but if they wouldn't have done, no, they didn't make you do it. You made your own choice. And when you and I have integrity, you stand on your actions. You own it. Yeah, I said it. I shouldn't have said it. And I'm sorry. If you did somebody wrong, you don't wait for them to come to you. No, you got integrity. Look, I said something about you. I shouldn't have said it. I'm sorry. All right? That's called integrity. Woo, I'm losing my audience. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Righteous folk need to have integrity. Yeah. You own your actions. And finally, you stick to biblical convictions. That's integrity. You know what the Bible says, so you striving to stick to that right there. See, it's bigger than us. It's about keeping our vow to God. That's what you call integrity. It's just certain people in my life, I sure enough can't do them wrong. They've been so good to me. That's integrity. That's integrity. I can't do them wrong because they have been so good to me. And so I strive to do what's right by them and others. That's what you call integrity. How many can look in your life and say, I got some integrity, but I know I can do better by a show of hands? Remember that. One thing that is more valuable than money is your name. Your name. That's what the Bible teaches. Your name, your reputation is more valuable than a truckload of money. And so you want to have the reputation of the type person that has integrity. If you start something, you finish it. If you say you were going to do this, I was going to do this right here, and then you got in it and you seen that it wasn't what you said it was going to be, but you the one that said you were going to do it, have some integrity. Don't be no quitter or no flunky. Just finish what you started. Finish what you started. You went out and got high with your boys and got caught. Now you got probation. Own it. Well, I did do it. It ain't the man that was tripping. I was tripping. Own it. You were speeding. You got the ticket. I ran the stop sign. It was my fault. Own it. I was in Villa Rica one time, and I had me an ice cream, and I was enjoying the day, and I ran through this stop sign. And I didn't see this police officer. He just swung out, hit the lights, pulled me over quick, fast, and in a hurry. He came to the window. I just let the window down. I said, look, I'm sorry. I know I ran that stop sign. I'm so sorry. I just was somewhere else. He just smiled and grinned. He said, you know what? I'm going to let you go. He said, but I'm going to check you first. Give me your license. And if everything come back straight, then you can go. I was like, oh, I know I'm good. So he took my license, ran me. He said, hey. You go on, but do better next time, all right? And I was like, woo, what do you call that, You have to own your actions, young folk. If you lay down with somebody, get pregnant, don't be talking like, ah, dog, they should have pulled out. No, you the one laid down with them. You did that. Talk about some, man, my pull-out game. No, pull out nothing. You did that. Have in integrity. The Bible talks about two people that had great integrity, David and Job. Look at David. Y'all read this with me, Psalm 26 and 11. Psalm 26 and 11. Look at what David said, a righteous man, about integrity. He said, but as for me, I will walk in my integrity. As for who? Me. And see, that's the attitude you got to have. I don't care what y'all gonna do, but as for me, I'm gonna do what's right. I'm going to have integrity. It has to be a personal decision, young folk. You can't go around blaming your choices on other folk. You have to, and I have to be like David. As for me, I'm going to do what the Bible says. I'm going to do what mama taught me. I'm going to do what's right. And then look at Job 27 and 5. Where are we going, Job? What? 27 and 5. Boy, I love the tone of this text. Far be it from me that I should say you are right. Till I die, I will not put away my integrity from me. Job was like, integrity is in me. His wife wanted him to stop holding fast to his integrity, but he was like, look, till I die, I ain't gonna put it away from. That's how we have to be, young folk. I don't care what they doing on social media, I got integrity. I don't care what my teammates are doing, I have integrity. I don't care what my classmates are doing, I have integrity. It doesn't matter what they doing on break, I have integrity. I have integrity, right? You don't let nobody get you in the back seat of no car and disgrace you, young woman. Have some integrity. You can at least, you ain't gonna at least get a room? You gonna put me in the back seat of a car? I know I don't need to be hanging with you. I have too much integrity. You want me to send you a picture of my what? No, I have too much integrity. And if somebody sent you the picture, you may get your little look. Oh, Lord, I wasn't expecting that. Delete it. Why? You have. Don't save it. Don't make it your wallpaper. Don't put it in your favorites. Don't share it with your friend. Have some in integrity. You tell myself, oh, Lord, I didn't ask him for that, and you just steady lusting now. No, have some integrity. Oh, Jesus. Let's go to Psalm 37. So righteous folk have what? Integrity. Have integrity. I admire young folk that have integrity. Especially young folk that are out front in leadership, active in God's house. And sometimes they mess up and make mistakes continually, but have enough integrity to go and pull pastor aside, pull first lady aside and say, hey, I don't need to operate right now until I get myself together. Guess what you call that? Integrity. But when you just keep doing the same stuff and God have to expose you, that right there, that be embarrassed. Why not just be honest with where you are and just have integrity and say, I'm going to get myself together. I'm going to keep coming to church. Because a righteous person falls. But they get right back what? Right back up. Yeah. And see, thank God for mature leadership. You have folk like me and others. We'll tell you, yeah, you're wrong, because that's the right thing to do. But when you're overtaken in a fault, mature folk gonna help you to get strengthened and get right back up. Boy, that's some good teaching, right? Okay, we're talking about righteous folk. Righteous folk have, first of all, what? Integrity. Let's go to Psalm 37. Thank y'all so much for participating and answering questions this morning. Psalm 37 and verse 9. I'm sorry, verse 39. Psalm 37 and verse 39. Notice, but the salvation of the righteous is from who? The Lord. Let's read that again. But the salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. All right. What do I want us to learn in this verse? The salvation of the righteous is from who? The Lord. All right. Listen real closely, especially my young adults. Younger ones, you need to learn from this. When you are righteous, the Lord is your source. That's where your salvation comes from. That's where your deliverance comes from, your protection, your prosperity. Understand, when you are righteous, your salvation comes from the Lord. Thank God that you have been in the Lord for years. God always causes his people to reap what they have been sowing. You think about it. You've been in God since you was, as Minister Florence said, a baby. And now you're in your late teens, early 20s, or mid-20s. Don't you know you serve a God that's going to make sure you reap some rewards for all those years of faithfulness? He's going to make sure that you are blessed. He's going to make sure that you have desires and needs as a young person, as a young adult. But when God start pouring it out, young people, when he pours out money, whether it come through a job, whether he blesses you to start your own business and prosperity just start just flowing, God bless you to get property, God blesses you to get things that your heart's desire, you must always remember, it's not because of a job. It's not because of a degree. It's not because somebody hooked you up. Your salvation comes from the Lord. You have to always remember that. Man, God, you blessing me with my heart's desire, it's got to be because I got this job. No, thank God for the job. But the job ain't your source. The job can start acting funny and let you go. But if your mindset is, oh, man, I ain't got no job, God ain't going to bless me. No, you righteous. God going to make sure you are taken care of. Always remember that, young folk. When you and I are righteous, our source, our prosperity is coming from the Lord. It's divine. And so God may bless you with a college degree. He may allow you to go through extra schooling. He may open up a door where you come out at 21, 22, making $60,000, $70,000. You thank God, but don't make the job your idol. Amen. Don't make people your idol. Always remember from where your blessings come. How many got that in them? You know where your blessings come from. Yeah, always remember from whence your blessings come. And I say it, and I'm going to keep on saying it, as long as you do right by God, he going to take care of you. And we serve a God that will do exceedingly, abundantly above whatever we ask or think. Always remember, young folk, that our salvation comes from God. Always remember that. Y'all with me? So those are two truths that I want us to remember this morning. Righteous folk have what? Integrity. And our salvation comes from who? The Lord. Always remember that. Always remember these truths about the righteous. Now, when we get to our second verse in 2 Corinthians 13 and 5, Paul is talking to righteous folk. And he tells them, examine yourself. Examine yourself as to whether you are in the faith. And many of us, since we've had schooling, many of us are familiar with exams. Many of us are familiar with tests. But remember, God's ways are not like man's ways. And so on one particular part, you can look at an exam as being where somebody is looking for proof or evidence that you know a thing, right? You get an exam at school, it's to see if you've been paying attention. But it's more than that when it comes to your God. When God tells us to examine ourselves, young folk, he wants us to compare our lives to his standard. I want you to compare your life to my standard and see if you are in the will of God. Compare yourself. Look at your life. Then look at my written and my revealed word and discover if you are in the faith. And see, I love the theme for the year, Faith Walkers. I love it. But I'm going to tell you what the Lord told me again. I shared it starting on New Year's Eve. The Lord want to make sure, he's going to be sending a word to make sure that we know that we're righteous first. Because you ain't going to walk by no faith, young folk, if you are not righteous. And so this morning, we need to examine ourselves. I need you to look close now. Look on the surface, but then dig a little deeper. Them closets in your life, them corners, them dark places in your life, I need you to compare that to God's will, his standard, and you will come up with your truthful answer if you are in the faith or not. If you really Christian the way you should be. I want to look at some areas we need to examine, and I just want to deal with them a little bit this morning, then I'm going to be done. Now, let me go ahead and forewarn us. It's going to get a little touchy. But we need an exam. We need an old physical exam and a spiritual exam this morning. So don't resist it. Just come on in and lay down on the table. Go ahead and just take a deep breath. And let's examine ourselves. Not your neighbor, but your. Let's go to Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12 and verse number 5. Y'all still with me? All right. I got to check. Proverbs 12. In verse 5, the thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsels of the wicked are deceitful. The first thing we need to examine about ourselves, young folk, are our thoughts. Let's take a good look at our thinking. Examine your thoughts. Now notice the text says that the thoughts of the righteous are right. Right has to do with good and godly. Are your thoughts, is your thinking on a consistent basis, is it good and godly? Oh, Lord. How is your thinking about the situation that you're in right now? The situation that you are in, whether it's a situation about a relationship, a situation about your career, a situation about your health, a situation about your family. How are you thinking about it? Is it right? Is it good and godly? How are you thinking? Now, you got the opportunity to stay with two families, some of us. You can choose to stay with one family that's strict and got rules. Wow. Or you got the opportunity to stay with the other side of the family that lets you do whatever you want. Now, how are you thinking about that? Now, you like some things in the strict household, but you don't like a lot of the things that go on. But you can go over to the other family. I mean, you can just about get away with murder. You can go how you want. You can dress how you want. Talk how you want. You get what you want. How are you thinking? Now, you at a stage in your life where your decisions and choices are very crucial and important. And if you thinking like the wicked, you deceiving yourself. Well, I can go over here for about 2 years until I graduate, and I can do get away whatever I want. And then when I turn 18, I can just be out. You deceiving yourself. Righteous folk think right. Man, I know what they telling me is tough, but I need this. I need this discipline. I need this discipline. Because this discipline is going to help me. How are you thinking? You got two guys that like you. And you, girl, what should I do? You know, on the one hand, he fine. Woo, girl, he dressed nice. You know, he like me. He don't like all these other. He like me. He called me. But on the other hand, you got this guy. He look all right. But, you know, he just, he ain't that cool. Yeah, he do the church thing. He all right. He nice. But, girl, I like this rough neck. I mean, his neck rough. I like that. He a rough neck. How are you thinking? How are you thinking about your situation? And you got young folk in the church and outside of church, man, they be having some choices they have to make in life. And see, if you allow your peers who not saved, ain't got the Holy Spirit, don't read the Bible, counsel you or get all in your ear and sway your decisions, you're messing yourself up. How are you thinking about your virginity, your body? How are you thinking? I want it to be special. He ain't thinking like that. How are you thinking? How are you thinking about yourself, young woman? Do you think right about yourself? Do people say you so cute, but you be like, I'm ugly. I'm ugly. Ugly? Girl, you got it going. You got it going on. How do you think about it? You'd be surprised how some young women look down on them themselves, not just once a month, very often. You righteous. God even have good thoughts about you. And you don't have good thoughts about your own self? Now, there's stuff about my own self I don't like. I'm just going to be honest. But I got a list of more things about myself that I do like than the things that I don't like. How are you thinking about yourself? You thinking that you ain't cool because you ain't doing what your boys want you to do? What's wrong with you? And what your boys want you to do can mess your life up? What? How you thinking, brother? Sister, as a righteous person, your thoughts need to be right. How can you think that your parents are against you? They the ones that love you. They the ones that's providing. How can you think that they don't understand? What's wrong with you? You're thinking about yourself. Do you forgive others and yourself? Yeah, you messed up big time. But you gotta forgive yourself. You're not perfect. Yeah. We all fall short of the glory of God. And sometimes we make some big mistakes. But you just can't wallow in it. You got to forgive yourself. And you got to forgive other folk. Whether it's a daddy that ain't in your life or a person that did you wrong, look, you got to forgive folk. Because the Bible teaches if we don't forgive folk, our God in heaven, he won't forgive us. Our thinking, young folk, got to be right. Look at somebody say, you're thinking. Got to be right. You a young man. Don't think that you a young woman. No, you got penis. That's man. Okay? You got breasts and vagina. That's woman. You need to think right about yourself. Yeah. Yeah. You may not be shaped like everybody else, but that's okay. Look, that can change. You can do some exercises and change that. Y'all ain't saying nothing. Before I deal with this some more, how many have ever, just be honest, but had jacked up thinking? Yeah. Sadly, many young people do not think righteously about themselves. So many young people look to self-pity, drugs, sex, social media, and other forms of idolatry. They search for an escape from their reality, their flaws, their problems, and inability to overcome the cares of life. But they fail to think that God's love through Jesus Christ is more than able to deliver and provide everlasting life. All we need to do is make sure we're thinking right, young people. That's one of the first things we need to do. We need to be thinking according to God's word. Whenever you battle depression, tough situations in life, we need to be thinking right. Because as a man thinks, so is he. If you think you thugged out, guess how you gonna act? Thugged out. You think you're a player, guess how you gonna act? Like a player. If you don't think you can, guess what? You won't. Our thinking, young people, is very important. If you don't think you can live this life, you won't. You need to be thinking, look, I can do all things through Christ who what? Who strengthens me. Let me give you a good example of someone's thinking that we see in our day and time. I couldn't help but deal with this morning because we just got through talking about NBA Youngboy. Is this Christ-like thinking? NBA Youngboy admitting that wearing makeup makes him feel good about himself. I mean, is that godly thinking? I need to feel good about myself, so let me go wear some makeup. That's some corrupt thinking. And it's shown up jacked up thinking if you admire somebody like that. Do you not know it has been said that one of his favorite artists that he looks up to is Marilyn Manson? A Satan worshiper. He said this gets him in the mood or the vibes of a rock star. Young folk thinking, look at how he's thinking. And if you following somebody like that, their example, you're going to be thinking the same way. That's not no Christ-like thinking. Last thing I'm going to do if I need to feel good about myself, go put on some makeup. Matter of fact, that ain't going to be the thing that I do. Second thing we need to examine, young folk, is how we talking. Proverbs 8 and 8, y'all go down. Am I thinking like a Christian? Am I in the faith? Is my thinking right? Do I think, ain't nothing wrong with what NBA Youngboy doing? Ain't nothing wrong with that. Your thinking jacked up. Jacked up. Proverbs 8 and 8. All the words of my mouth, Lord, are with righteousness. Nothing crooked or perverse is in them. That's powerful. He talked like he in the faith, don't he? He talked like a child of God. So let's look at ourselves. Is the music that you repeat and listen to, is it righteous? Now you saying you in the faith, you Christian. But you repeat words that are ungodly. Music, songs, and lyrics that are crooked and perverse. Ain't no way, bro. Ain't no way you can be in the faith. Take my gun and I'm shining, kill them all, stomp them all. What? You say? Hit it from the back. Then I put it in an ear. Then I turn up. What? Are you Christian? Stomp them all down. Then I put it in a stomach. Boy, I got 12 babies. What? Church folks saying they say. Are you in the faith? Talking like this. Dancing to that. Are you in the faith? Is that righteous? Oh, well, let's just leave the music alone and look at how you text. How do you text? What goes on in the DM? On Snapchat? Man, I'd have took that eggplant and what? We know what eggplant emoji mean. You ain't talking about going and getting no Parmesan eggplant. Eggplant emoji. Talking about sex. You Christian? Born again in the faith. And this is how you talk to your teammates. Your so-called friends. Hey, I'm gonna send you this picture I found. This right here. I want you to look at this right here. You sharing that? Boy, you see old girl, man, she fine. Look at her butt. And then you don't even say butt. Hey, we going in the bathroom. Can you do lookout? Hey, I'm in class. Hey, I need you to do look. What? Who does that? I said, who does that and says that they are still God's child? Remember, we're examining ourselves, right? So we have to look at this stuff because Jesus picked apart a whole group of folk. He said, look, y'all saying you love me with your mouth, but your heart is far from me. Ephesians, y'all roll with me. Ephesians, I'm still teaching. Ephesians 4. And 29. Paul says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Bottom line, he said, we got to talk right and don't say things that's going to be a problem, basically. That's basically what he said. We got to watch how we talk. And in our day and time, it's just not talking verbally because many young people prefer doing things online and digitally. So you have to look at how you carry yourself as a righteous person, even in those type spaces. Yeah. Is your group conversations in your group text, is it righteous? You have to look at stuff. You have to examine yourself. Examine yourself. So we done examine our thinking, our talking, and y'all know what the last one is? Our actions. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John 3. And 7. Little children, let no one, y'all help me, deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is what? Righteous. So if I'm doing the word, then that means I'm in the word. If I'm doing right, that means God considers me to be right. Y'all see it? Yeah. Examine your choices. Whether or not you in the faith would a saved young girl sneak out the house to go lay up with somebody else. Is that practicing righteousness? Is that practicing righteousness? We could go on and on with different examples and different choices, but young folk, we have to examine. I said, God ain't playing around. God ain't playing around. Either you in there with them or you ain't. And see, how we think, talk, and act is going to determine if we're in the faith or not. Bottom line. We can say one thing all we want. But the old folk used to say actions speak louder than words. If you and I are in the faith, it's going to be exemplified in our lifestyle, young folk. And you and I are not going to walk by faith if that's not what's in our heart. If you don't have, man, I'm saved, man, I'm Christian. If that ain't in your heart, you ain't going to do what a Christian is supposed to do. You're not going to do it. You're not going to do it. Because a good tree can't bear forth bad fruit. And a bad tree or person can't bear good fruit. There's no way around it. Are you in the faith? Been in church, but is you saved? Because you can be in the church, but not in the faith. You can be here every week, but still not be born again. And I'm telling you, young folk, in this day and time we live in, it is so obvious that there is a divide going on. God, in my opinion, is allowing the wheat and the tare to be separated. It's no in between no more. Either you in the faith or you not. And of course, being in the faith, young folk, don't mean you're going to be flawless. We done established that righteous folk fall, right? But it gets to a point to where you don't need to keep practicing sin. You're not righteous anymore. You backslid, right? That's why it's important to not only to be in the faith, young folk, but you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to be in the faith, but you also need to be filled with the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit is going to give you power to live right. Acts 1 and 8, he's going to give us power to be witnesses. And see, I want to make sure that we are understanding what God is requiring of us. We got to examine ourselves, young folk. Can't be living like a hellion. Someone is acting a fool. Can't be living crazy and then say you still a Christian. You in the faith. No. Look at somebody say, no. No. Mm-mm. No. Come on in and let's just do this thing. Right? Look at somebody say, come on in and let's do this thing. Yeah? Are you in the faith? And I love what he, in my clothes, in our text, he closes out the verse. He said, you know yourself. You know. You know whether Christ Jesus is in you. Either Jesus in you or the devil in you. You know. That's what he said. You know if he in you unless you're disqualified. And see, that's what I want to put before some of us. You know where you are. If you know that you're not where you need to be, why not change? Why not go ahead and just say, look, let me just come on in there and be who God wants me to be. I done made some mistakes. I done got off course. But thank God, our God is gracious. He is merciful. Y'all hold your claps. No, because I know what it's like to be feeling, as the Bible says, stuck between two opinions. You know, I know what that feel like. I know what that feel like to know on one hand you need to get it right, but then you feel that pull of other things saying, no, you straight, just stay right. I know that feeling. I know that feeling, but this be the thing. I found out in my years of living, I wasn't the only one. But the key is you have to work on yourself. That's what this is about. It's about examining yourself. So it don't matter about your brother, your sister. It's about getting yourself right. And one thing I want to say as I conclude is that God's hand is not too short that it cannot save. It doesn't matter who you are. God will help you. God will help you to get in the place that you need to be if that's what you want. God is not going to force himself on anybody. He's not going to do it. He's not going to do it. So after all that has been taught this morning and all that has been said, you should be able to answer the question yourself. Am I in the faith? Am I in the faith? It should be as plain as what Jesus said. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. It should be just as plain. You should be able to answer that question. And with that being said, I'm going to stop right there. Let's give our God a hand clap of praise. For the two verses.
You say you're searching for happiness, it's the way to go. You say you want peace, this the way to go. If you're trying to see Jesus, this the way to go. We all want to live, this the way to go. The show, 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 this the way to go. The show.
You are now listening to the Way to Go Youth Podcast with Pastor Jerome Baker. This podcast is an outreach of A Place of Refuge Church located in Carrollton, Georgia, where the pastor is Bishop Barry Walker. Our vision is to help youth and young adults to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's word. Now, let's receive Pastor Baker with today's message. You are listening to The Way to Go. Thank you for listening to today's message. Please be sure to stop by Pastor Baker's website. Go to www.jeromeabaker.com. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. You just need to know the way to go.